Well, good morning. My name is Dominic. I'm the campus pastor here at South, and we're in the series called Base Camp. And the idea behind this summer series is that we look at some key aspects of what it means to live like Jesus, to live the Christian faith. So if you're a follower of Jesus, this relates to you. If you're not a follower of Jesus, this is a great opportunity as well to kind of hear what are some of these key elements of faith that followers of Jesus try to incorporate into their life as we seek to follow in the way that he lived. This morning, we're going to look at this idea of faith, this concept and this practice of faith, and particularly around faith and trust. Faith is a pretty broad category. I'm not going to be exhaustive today intentionally, but try to focus in on this whole idea of trust and one kind of sliver of that within this chapter in the book of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, that tells all these stories about faith. We're going to take a look at one of those stories and see what it can tell us about faith this morning. And faith and trust is really interesting. We all face situations when we require trust of us. When we're faced in situations that we can't control. I was talking to a couple in a restaurant just this week who was in town visiting from the Midwest. They're in the farming industry. And we were talking about the dynamic of being in an industry where your entire livelihood depends on the weather. I mean, something you absolutely have no control over. We said, of course, we tend to not have much control over anything in life, but especially in that industry, how challenging it would be to be in an industry where your livelihood's based on whatever that app tells you is going to happen tomorrow. We all have situations. We come across situations in life that require trust. Maybe it's a job change for you. Maybe it's a conflict in a relationship. Maybe it's a new path in parenting. Maybe it's something in your marriage you want to build in. Maybe it's an unknown future that you're not sure how to proceed, but it requires an act of trust on your behalf. And for me, the last few years prior to coming here, that act of trust and need of trust was in my job search, and where Hillary and I felt like God calling me into ministry after we left our time in France, but not really sure where that was. We ended up here, certainly, but the few years in that in between was a time that really challenged me to continually look to God and try to trust. It wasn't always easy. I wouldn't say I've like modeled faith perfectly in that season, but it required trust. You've got situations like that in your life, and if you don't have a situation that requires trust, just wait a few days. You'll probably come across something that's going to challenge you. And the thing about those situations that require trust is I think what they do is they stir something. They begin to challenge us, and we begin to even look at who we are. And we look at who God is. In my season, I was wondering, okay, what do I do with this calling into ministry? But nothing's happening as far as a job. What does that mean about me? What does this mean about what I feel like God's put on my heart? But also made me question, hey, God, what are you up to in the midst of this? I believe you're good. I believe you're going to come through, but it's not happening. So what do I do with that? You probably have got your own situation. And I think today it's going to be really helpful for us because today we're going to look at this idea of faith and trust through the lens of this guy named Moses, you probably know about. And if you don't, you're going to see a little bit of his story. And it's told through the lens of someone probably 1,500 years later, looking back on Moses' story and seeing that Moses and how he lived, he actually lived through faith. And the one thing I want you to take away from, or I hope you take away from today is that faith, if I could put a statement on it for our particular focus today, that faith believes that God will be faithful. What we're going to see from Moses today is that faith believes that God will be faithful. Faith trusts. Faith is persuaded. If you have faith, you're persuaded that God will be faithful. The object of your trust is not you. The object of your trust is not closing your eyes and shutting them really tight and wishing something would happen. The object and your hope and everything that you bank on is on who God is and that he will be faithful. When you act in faith, when you trust God, and you walk in step with him, it means you can do things like forgive. You can forgive because you believe that he will be faithful, that he will justify and protect you. You can make decisions. You could wake up early and spend time with God believing that he will give you energy for the rest of the day and the sleep that you sacrifice. You can obey God wherever he calls, even though it may mean difficulty in the short term, because you believe that he'll go with you. You can walk into an unknown future because you believe that if God calls you, God goes with you. Whatever your situation of trust, faith believes that God will be faithful. And that's really good news. It's really good news about faith is that God will be good to you. We often think of faith as this thing abstract or separated from God. No, no, no. It's very much linked with who he is. And I hope as we look through the story and how Moses acted and practiced faith, that you would be challenged to take advantage of the opportunities in your life where God's calling you to step out in faith, to trust him. That you would believe and act as if he will be faithful, because he will be. And that by doing so, you would experience God's goodness in a fresh and new way. So I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 11. If you have a Bible, you can turn there on your phone or you can look on the screen. We're just going to look at a couple verses in there. It's a long chapter, a lot of stories about faith. We don't have time to go through them all. We're just going to look at a couple here beginning in verse 24. But as we do that, would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the incredible gift of faith. It's a gift that we look to you for. It's a gift that we look and seek and bank on you to be faithful. God, I pray for us that we would be ready to hear what you would want to say to us today. In the midst of all the stories that may stir in our mind and heart, of all the places that require our trust today, that we would focus our attention on your faithfulness, on your character, on your goodness toward us, and that we would walk forward in light of that. Lead us through your word this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 24, tells the story of Moses like this. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, there's a lot there, so let me back up and tell you a little bit about the story if you're not familiar with it. Moses had two heritages. One is he had the heritage of his people, of the Hebrew people. They were enslaved in Egypt at the time, and his heritage with that Hebrew people was linked to a particular event of his parents, and it's when his parents abandoned him. His parents sent him up the Nile River. They did it not because they didn't want him or not because they didn't value him, but to protect him. In that time, his life was in danger. And so they sent him up the Nile River for his good. I say abandonment. We know why they did it. We're looking back on the story, but Moses growing up didn't know why. Moses was a baby when he was sent up that river, and he was found by the daughter of Pharaoh, and she, in essence, adopted him in. So Moses has heritage number one of this Hebrew people. He has birth parents somewhere who abandoned him from his perspective growing up. And then he has this second heritage of Pharaoh. He grew up in Pharaoh's household. He was, in essence, Pharaoh's grandson. And with that came incredible privilege and wealth and honor and education. We have to remember at that time, Pharaoh ruled the world. Pharaoh controlled things. At the top of the pyramid, literally, figuratively, it was Pharaoh. He was at the top. And everything and everyone connected with him had everything you could ever imagine and want. I love staying at hotels, and part of why I like staying at hotels is you get to live a little bit different than you normally do in your house. One of the best hotels in the world, I've not personally stayed here, but one of the best hotels in the world is a hotel in Turkey. And just to give you an idea of this hotel, of the resort around this hotel, the pool is the biggest pool in the entire Mediterranean. It's so big, they have gondola rides. You know your pool is big when you have to take a gondola to get across it. They imported 9,000 tons of sand from Egypt for their beach. They have a spa treatment, which is pretty nice, but their spa treatment ends a little bit different than your spa treatment. And their spa treatment, they have fresh snow for you to roll around in after you get your spa. I know, haven't you always wanted that? Haven't you always been at the spa and thinking, gosh, I'd really love some fresh snow right now? They have it, and so you can go there. Here's one of their rooms. This is one of their top rooms. It'll only set you back about $11,000. I'm not mocking the place. Seriously, if you go, take me. I'm not paying for it. I want you to pay for it, but take me. It's $11,000. It comes with a variety of things, as you can imagine. One of the things not pictured there, it comes with a remote-controlled toilet. Because we've all wanted that experience of flushing the toilet from a distance. You can do that for only $11,000 a night. It has a baby grand piano you can see there in the picture in the living room. It has a living room in the hotel room. It's hard for us to get our minds around, but we need to understand that when Moses does what he's about to do, what we're going to read in this verse and what happens next, this is his life. Okay, he doesn't have remote-controlled toilets, of course, but he's at the top of the pyramid. He's at the top of the food chain. He's got everything you could ever want. And what's interesting is the text says in verse 24 that he refused all of this. He says, you can keep your gondola rides. You can keep your fresh snow. I don't want it. He came to a decision point. And by faith, he chose to believe that God was faithful. Moses had these two competing identities. Somehow, though, he reconciled this identity of abandonment with the Hebrew people. He could see his people, his birth people, enslaved. And somehow he reconciled that of what happened. And he reconciled everything at his fingertips. And he says, you know what? I reject all of that. This is who I am because I believe that God's at work over here. What did his choice look like? The writer of Hebrews goes on in verse 25. It says that Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He says that Moses chose to choose this identity, this heritage with the Hebrew people. And it meant mistreatment. It meant suffering. It meant that he went from the palace to the fields. But it also meant that he joined with, you see it there, with the people of God. Moses thought that being aligned with what God was aligned with in the world, being a part of what God was doing in the world, was worth more than all the treasure of the world. That faith for Moses, faith even for us, means that we could endure potentially even difficult and trying circumstances, knowing that we're a part of what God is doing in the world. The alternative for Moses was pleasure. It's a fleeting pleasure, though. In other words, it's there for a little bit, but then gone. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says that pleasure, if Moses had chosen to stay with Egypt, he said that would have been sin. That would have been outside of the design of God. That would have been everything less than the best of God for Moses. Moses acted in such a way that he said, you know what, you can keep all of those things, that all those shiny things, because I believe that God has something good, and his good is even better than all that. That's what Moses' faith looked like. Moses banked his faith that God was good. Moses banked his faith on that God would be faithful to him, that he could give up everything over here for everything over there. How did he choose? Down in verse 26, here's how he chose. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses saw greater treasure. He said, you know what? Being mistreated, if I get to be a part of what God's doing in this world, being mistreated is of greater value than all the remote-controlled toilets, of all the gondola rides. Everything that I could want. Being mistreated is even better as long as I get to be a part of what God's doing in the world. What's interesting is the writer of Hebrews also ties this in to Jesus. And he says that Moses' suffering 1,500-ish years ago is somehow tied even to the suffering of Christ. That in some ways, Moses' obedience to God, to believe that God is faithful, it ties him into the stream that culminates in the obedience of Christ on the cross. And the text says that Moses did all this. He made this choice because he was looking ahead. It's a word in Greek that only, this is the only place in the entire New Testament it shows up. This word looking ahead means literally to look away to. Look away to. So it's not simply looking away from something, but it's looking away from something so that you can look to something. It's looking away from competing things so that you can look only to the one thing worthy of your attention. That's what Moses did. He looked ahead, and here's what he looked to. Here's what he looked away from and looked to was this. He looked to the reward. He believed that God would be good. He believed that God had a plan. He believed that somehow God was not going to leave him. That somehow, even though the current circumstance said suffering and mistreatment, and we're going to lose out, Moses. I mean, no one would have made this decision. No one would have given up everything you saw in that picture for nothing. And not only nothing, but mistreatment. But Moses said, you know what? There's a reward coming. Because no matter what's going on right now, if I'm with God, God's going to be good. God's going to be faithful. There's something good coming at the end of all this. And Moses didn't make that up. In fact, the writer of Hebrews, earlier in chapter 11, back in verse 6, says this really fascinating statement. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. So in other words, he describes faith in this way, that faith is that somehow there's a belief that you hold on to who God is, and part of who God is that God rewards those people who are joined with God and being a part of what God's a part of in this world. It's not like, well, I wonder how that's going to turn out. How it's going to turn out is God's going to bring his reward. I don't know what that means. I'm not saying it's like this, you know, prosperity thing going on. But somehow God's going to be faithful. God's going to be good to you if you choose to follow in the way of God. In other words, if you choose to trust him, if you choose to act and live in faith, if you choose to believe, you know what? I'm going to take this step. I'm going to move in this direction because God's calling me there and I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that he will be faithful. There's a reward. That's what Moses looked to. That's what drove Moses, saying, you know what? God's going to do something through all this. And here's more of characteristic of his choice and his faith down in verse 27. The story takes a little bit of a turn, but still relevant to our conversation this morning. He says, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses persevered. The word means to continue to persist. Moses continued to persist, to believe that God was faithful and that God would be good. How was he able to persevere? Moses saw something. Moses saw something that not everyone else could see. Michelangelo, the famous artist, sculptor, said this. He said, every block of stone has a statue inside of it and is the task of the sculptor to discover it. Every block of stone has a statue inside of it. It's a task of the sculptor to discover it. In other words, the creative sees something that not all of the rest of us see. We see a block of stone and he says, look, I see a statue when you see that block of stone. Moses saw something that not everyone else could see. And here's what he saw. He saw the one who is invisible, which I love. I love that statement that Moses saw the one who couldn't be seen. Moses glimpsed the one who couldn't be glimpsed. And Moses somehow acted in faith. And because he saw the one who couldn't be seen, he acted in faith and joined with what God was doing in the world. Moses had a front row seat to what God was doing in the world. He participated in what God was up to in the world by joining with the people of God. Moses saw him who is invisible. He had a glimpse. He had a pathway into something that not many people could see. And because he saw that, and because he saw the reward, because he believed that God would be faithful, that God would be good, Moses said, you know what? You can have all of that. I'm going here. Because this is where God is, and this is where God's calling. At the end of the chapter, in chapter 11, the writer says something really fascinating, the last verse 40. It won't be on the screen, but he says this, is that God, with all of these stories, that somehow our story of faith is connected. And at the end of verse 40, he says that God had planned something better for us. God had a plan for people like you and me, people like the audience of this letter of Hebrews. He had something better. So Moses didn't fully get to receive what he looked towards, but he looked towards it, was moving down that path. And the writer of Hebrews says, you know what? His story of faith is connected to your story of faith and our story of faith. He says, together with Moses' story and all the other stories in this chapter, there's something better for us. And he goes on in the next chapter to talk about Jesus. That Jesus is a culmination of faith. That Jesus is the perfect, faithful servant of the Heavenly Father. That Jesus is the picture of the faithfulness of God. In fact, if we ever wonder, if you ever question whether or not God's going to be good, if you ever wonder if God's going to be faithful, you just look to the cross of His Son, sacrifice, dying for you. As the New Testament writers, the followers of Jesus talk about, they keep pointing to Jesus' death and resurrection as a sign that God's up to something new in the world. And that is His mark that cannot be changed. That is the center of faith. That is the object of our faith. In fact, John Calvin said it this way. He said, faith is not a distant view. So it's not something you just hold out, and say, okay, let me unpack faith and hold it and draw on it and pick it apart. He says, no, faith is not something distant. It's something that you encounter with a warm embrace of Christ. And by that warm embrace, He dwells in us and we are filled with the divine spirit. Faith is not simply something you hold at a distance, but it's someone that you embrace. Faith believes that God will be faithful. And the object of our faith, God's faithfulness, is seen perfectly in Jesus. Moses shows us this type of faith. He shows us this type of trust. There are a lot of other stories. Again, the point today isn't to be exhaustive. The point is to hopefully give you encouragement. The point is to give you a challenge to step out in faith. Not trying to muster it up from yourself. But know that God has put the object of our faith out there, and His name is Jesus. That we can fully believe that God will be eternally faithful because of the cross of Jesus. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you this week to find a decision. Find an opportunity where trust is going to be required of you. If you don't have one right now, like I said, wait a few days. Something will come where you're going to be in a place that's a little bit outside of your comfort zone. You're going to be in a place where you're not sure what's the next step would be. You're going to be in a place that's going to require trust. And I want you to, instead of maybe running from that or pausing from that or stopping from that, maybe step into that to take advantage of that opportunity to trust. And take advantage by stepping into it and acting as if God will be faithful to you. Because He will. Take advantage of the opportunity that comes up to trust God, knowing that He will be faithful. Because if you do, I think you'll get to see God's goodness toward you in a way that maybe you haven't seen before, or maybe not in a long time. And when you do that this week, I think you can go with this confidence that the God who goes before you, the God who calls you, is a God who goes before you. I love 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. It says, the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. He's talking about sanctification in the future, but he says this thing about God, that the God who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Whatever God's calling you into, it's not like, okay, thanks very much, God. I got the pep talk, and out of the locker room I go, to use a sports analogy. It's not that. It's like, all right, God, I hear you calling me to this. You link arms and you go. Because He's going with you. The God who calls is the God who goes. Faithful is the one who calls you. He will do it. He will bring it about. You're going with God. You're like Moses participating with God and with the people of God, with the purposes of God in this world. Your faith is in your ability. Your faith is in the faithfulness of God. If He calls, He will go. And you don't have to wonder if He'll still be standing there 5 minutes later. If He calls, He goes. Moses was able to reject everything of value in this world, not because it was evil in and of itself, but it drew him away from his true identity and his true heritage with the people of God. I love how Charles Spurgeon gives this encouragement. He says, of God's failing you, never dream of it. Hate the thought. The God who has been sufficient until now should be trusted to the end. never dream of his failing you. Even as in his words, hate the thoughts, because God will be faithful to the end. God will never cease to be faithful to you. I want to challenge you to step out in faith, to trust him when an area and opportunity comes up this week, and it will, where you're outside of your comfort zone, where you sense that God's calling you to trust him. Step out and act as if God will be faithful, because he will. You have the example of Moses. You can read through this chapter again this afternoon and see all of these people of faith, the different ways that their stories collide into this beautiful prism of faith. But through it all, you'll see a thread, and the thread is this, is that God is faithful. And that's not something for the past. That's something for you and me here and now. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for your incredible faithfulness toward us. That in an age, in a time where we're continually told that we need to figure it out ourselves, or we need to be stronger or better or smarter or faster, whatever it is, this reminder that faith doesn't put all of those things aside. Faith doesn't take us out of the picture, but it puts you front and center. God, take us away from faith that puts our abilities at the front and center. And would we truly believe and have faith that believes that you are faithful, that you'll be good towards us, that you're our Father, calling us as children, giving us access to every good thing from you. Break down the barriers, God, that keep us at a distance from you, our Heavenly Father, and the good that you have for us as your children. For those in this room who are maybe considering faith for the first time, that you would stir their hearts to see your faithfulness toward them. Thank you for the gift of the cross. Thank you for the gift of the resurrected Jesus, that we never have to doubt your faithfulness toward us. In his name we pray.